You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, prideofdetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook, on Twitch, on YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. The list is too long to really keep going here. Get the podcast, the PODcast, wherever you can, because we are the Pride of Detroit PODcast from prideofdetroit.com. It's what we do. It's what we're doing here to talk about the Detroit Lions all the time. It's an obsession. We have something seriously wrong with our brains because we just keep talking about Lions, 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 Lions. I am Chris Perfett, as always, your adequate host, I can't talk because I have a mask on right now, at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T, as always, joined by the editor-in-chief of Pride of Detroit, the fearless mustache, Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online. That's right. He gets a new nickname.
Yeah. I mean, the mustache legend grows again as Jamal Williams has now added himself to the list of players slash coaches that seem to enjoy it. So I don't know what the future holds with this. I think we need to reassess the future of the mustache.
We're going to have to call you like El Bigote Sin Miedo or something like the mustache without fear. Just you. I don't know. You want it. You've been wanting to get rid of that thing for a while, and I don't think it's going to happen.
We'll see. We might have to start fundraising for it again, because I don't even know anymore.
No. That thing is giving funds back. Not to spoil something, but let's just, again, if you didn't see this, Jamal Williams, who we're going to talk about in a second, saw Jeremy's mustache and he loved it. So, you know, it's just going to keep rolling. I hate that I'm giving all this time to a mustache. Third man of the team. The man of the team. Ryan Matthews. Back is the at Ryan_POD, Ryan with his own facial hair that was enjoyed by one Deuce Staley.
It was.
how's it going, Ryan? You look a little shell shocked.
It's going. You know, less than a week until spring break, so that's nice.
See, and now here I was thinking, Jeremy, that he was just a little blown up because of you know, the first round of the NCAA tournament and his friend Bovada King 69. But I think it's more because just that I forgot Ryan is Teach. And this is the time of year that is vacating his eyes.
Can we at least get a promise right now that during spring break, you're not going to lift your shirt up or anything on stream?
I can't promise that.
No, don't promise that. That's good. That's good. I don't want him to promise that. What I will promise everyone here, though, is we're going to talk about free agency. Jeremy has been. We've been doing podcasts last week as Jeremy, myself, and Eric Schlitt have all jumped in here. I think Ryan was in for one, too, if I believe. I'm kind of losing track of my days. Did a locker room. We've been busy for this week. I apologize for those of you who try to listen to everything, and I also appreciate those who try to listen to everything. But we've been busy this week because it's free agency, and we're all happy about that. And now here on this podcast, it's time to settle back a little bit, not do emergency podcasts, but to do the regular podcast and just talk about what the Lions have done so far. And we did the free agency preview. Now we'll do the free agency review. We're going to rewind, whoa, go back and look at it all again with a specific. We're going to look both at offense and then defense. And then at the end of this podcast, we're going to tell you what's changed about the Lions looking towards the draft and probably address some issues I think fans have had in regards to just how much effort the Lions are putting into a year that I don't think fans want to see a lot of effort put into. But we start with, can I start with Jamal Williams since we were just talking about him? Can we start with the running backs? Because sure. I think that's where that was the most interesting signing to me was the Jamal Williams signing. I know for basically, you know, DeAndre Swift's going to be your RB1, but he was a signing that I think has made this backfield very dynamic on paper. And between him, Kerryon Johnson, we're probably seeing Peterson out, but between those three, that is a backfield that is dynamic. It is a backfield that is varied. It has a lot of different weapons out. It has a lot of different abilities out there. And I thought the Jamal Williams signing, just speaking with some of my Packers fans, it was a sneaky good signing.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about it on our locker room because it had just kind of gone down right then. But yeah, I'm with you. And the other thing he brings to, I mean, now you, like you mentioned, they've got those three guys. They're all, I think, 25 or under. So it brings youth. And that's the position that you need youth, because we also know what happens to running backs who kind of cross over that 30 threshold. So the Lions have finally gotten an RB2 that isn't in the, you know, the sunset of his career. And so I like it. I was kind of hoping to see Kerryon Johnson get a legitimate shot at the RB2 job. But at the same time, you look at Jamal Williams' cap hits, it's 1.625 this year, 4.375 next year. You can kind of get out of that second year easy if you need to. So you're not investing a whole ton, and you've got a guy who has starting experience. You've got a guy, like you said, it can do it all. He can block, you can catch, you can run. You've got a guy who you know, as Ryan likes, best availability. Best. Oh, I messed it up. I blew it. But he's available. He doesn't get injured all that often. So he's a guy that you can plug in if something happens to DeAndre Swift or Kerryon Johnson, two guys who have dealt with injury issues in the past. Now you got a more reliable guy that can step in and, if he needs to, take the bulk of the carries. So, I think I'm going to give out grades for each of these signings, and I'm giving this one a solid B+.
B+, okay. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm happy with the signing. I would give it a B. I think there's two things that happen with Jamal Williams signing. One, as Jeremy mentioned, you get a guy who can do, he can do it all. He can run the ball, he can receive, he can also pass protect. And one stat that I like is that he has PFF grades of at least 83.3 in each of those things since he was drafted. Mind you, they haven't all come in the same season, but it just shows how capable he is of doing all those things. And the second thing that he brings is, as Jeremy also mentioned, that youthfulness, but he's only seen north of 500 snaps just once in his career. So I think the cool thing about this very affordable signing for the Lions is that they get another running back who can, you know, step in a pinch, but also, you know, they signed him for a couple of seasons. I think that he's going to be in Detroit for a couple of seasons. It's not like a lot of other NFL contracts where you see a guy get signed and we won't even get into voidable years, but you see a player sign a contract and then you're already thinking, okay, well, like, when do they have an out? It's like, I'm not worried about having an out with Jamal Williams. I hope that he's a guy who sticks around for quite some time in Detroit.
He seems like a very positive person, too. And I know in his press conference, there was the words positive competition. And I think for those who are worried about Kerryon Johnson, don't be too much, because like positive competitiveness, that's the key words here. And I don't know, I'm going to keep coming back to this, Jeremy, because it just feels so damn, I know I'm getting lost in the window dressing, but this team does feel so damn different in everything they've been doing and how they talk compared to just a year ago, like top to bottom. Just like it's about, you know, there just seems like a lot more people interested in just seeing to bring out the best on each other and just try to do the teamwork. Now, obviously, this is a coaching staff that hasn't won anything or lost anything yet, and obviously things can sour over time, but right now out of the gate, I think we're seeing the veteran leadership of guys who've played the NFL and who are now coaches on display across the board.
And to me, it's not about necessarily the leadership, the teamwork, that sort of stuff. I mean, we heard those kind of, you know, buzzwords from the last, you know, regime, and you know, you get all these football character guys that are just all about the Patriot way and all that sort of stuff. To me, it's more about personality. I mean, we talk about Jamal Williams, the football player, a good, well-rounded guy. Jamal Williams, the personality. If you haven't watched his introductory press conference, go watch it. The dude is extremely fun. The dude is positive. He's funny. He's going to be a personality. And throwing him and Kerryon Johnson and Deuce Staley in one running back's room, like, I want to be there. That sounds like a lot of fun. This team is going to be fun again. It might not be good, but it's going to be fun again. And this running back room also pretty talented too. So if we're talking about, you know, one position group, I think in this entire team that is both filled with a lot of fun and a good amount of talent, I think the Lions are probably set at running back more so than they are any other position on the field right now.
I just want to watch anime with Jamal Williams. I'll watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure with him.
Speaking of a bizarre adventure, let's talk about quarterbacks, huh?
You want to talk about, I was going to go to wide receiver, but I feel like let's knock the quarterback pin down right now. So Chase Daniel's out. Lions tried their damnedest to try to trade him. Did not work.
Bad chance.
Nobody bet there. They still save about north of $2 million against the cap by cutting Chase Daniels. So there's that. And then Tim Boyle comes in. He is your new backup quarterback in Detroit to Jared Goff. Well, I thought Jared Goff had a pretty interesting and a pretty good introductory press conference coming to Detroit. I know a lot of fans aren't really high up on him right now, but I feel like I need to devote a later podcast to just to Jared Goff. But Tim Boyle is your backup quarterback. Jeremy, this is your favorite topic to talk about backup quarterbacks. And to talk about a backup quarterback.
I'm immediately throwing this to Ryan because Ryan was trying to hype up Tim Boyle a little bit when the signing first went down via a Packers writer. So I'm going to defer to you. I'm going to let you hype up Tim Boyle because, one, I don't care about backup quarterbacks. Two, try to convince me again that this is something worth caring about.
Okay, let's keep things into perspective here for a minute. Okay, so it wasn't me who hyped up Tim Boyle. It was Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who is a Green Bay Packers beat writer, and he's been writing on the Packers beat for quite some time. He had a tweet that said, good signing for the Lions in regards to Tim Boyle. He will push Goff for the starting job.
No.
I immediately read that tweet, and I was like, that's not as complimentary of Tim Boyle as it is an indictment of Jared Goff. And it was funny because I quote tweeted that and Silverstein liked it. So clearly he has a feeling about Jared Goff.
Is he a Rams beat writer?
Right. So here's what I'll say about Tim Boyle. I think that legitimately he can come in and he can win the backup job from David Blau.
Yep.
I think that's definitely on the table.
That's not hard.
Well, let's just say that Tim Boyle will go down as the greatest backup Lions quarterback who came from UConn.
Okay.
Ouch,
that's Dano.
This is March, baby.
Yeah.
This is March. Shoot your shot.
I'm going to let that Dano slam slide and just give this a flat C. They basically took the Chase Daniel savings and spent it on Tim Boyle. Okay, great. Who cares?
Yeah.
Well, right. I'm with you, Jeremy. Like, it's pretty much like a non-needle mover to me. But what it does do is, like, you get younger at the position. Sure. So it's like another guy that you can potential. Develop. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to wide receiver before I lose my mind. So, I mean, I think we've talked a little bit about Tyrell Williams before. And the Lions added two more with Breshad Perriman and Khalif Raymond, formerly of the Titans. I like both signings, to be honest. I know Perriman's usually been like, a wide receiver 3 or so in some of the places he's been, sometimes 2. But I mean, he's had a few like plus 500 seasons. I know actually in Tampa, I think it was Tampa 2019, he had something like close to 700 yards, Jeremy, 650, I believe. And Khalif Raymond is basically your replacement for Jamal Agnew.
Right.
You know, your special teams kick returner out there.
Yeah, I mean, all three of these moves kind of just feel like keeping your head above water a little bit here. They're all 1 year deals. They're all 2s and 3s and maybe 4 wide receivers. There's not a clear number one here. Maybe Tyrell Williams. I know Oakland, he kind of became the number one guy after everything went bad with Antonio Brown. He did okay, but I think Tyrell Williams is probably better as a 2. Breshad Perriman's probably better as a 3. And Khalif Raymond's probably your 4, who's also your punt returner and kick returner. So they're still just kind of looking for that number one. And, you know, I think all signs are pointing towards that's probably going to happen in the draft. Could be with that number 7 pick, but it's also good depth in this year's draft in at the wide receiver position. So
yeah, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because we'll talk about how I think things are going to change for the draft. Ryan, any thoughts? Because I also want to talk about at least one person who's left too.
Yeah, for sure. Rashad Perryman is an interesting signing to me because I think that he started to put things together a little bit in Tampa Bay, and then he did himself a disservice by going and playing football for the New York Jets.
I mean, he this still guy had 500 yards with Sam Darnold throwing to him. That's impressive still to me.
Yeah, for sure. He's a guy who really struggled with injuries. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was a former first round pick, and mm-hmm. he was, you know, touted coming out of UCF as a absolute burner. And then it was injury after injury after injury. Maybe he is a reclamation project. These are the types of guys that we were expecting to get in free agency. So to get a guy like Rashad Perryman, I think I'd give that like a solid C plus because the upside is there. But as you guys mentioned, I mean, he probably tops out as like a wide receiver three. But, you know, you are just kind of keeping your head above water. I'm actually real excited to see Tyrell Williams play for the Lions this season. And I don't know if he'll necessarily go in. Let me say this. I don't know if he'll finish the season as wide receiver one, but I do think he'll go into the season as wide receiver one, regardless of what the Lions do in the draft. But Tyrell Williams he's an interesting signing to me. My favorite stat for Tyrell Williams is that he's averaged 16.1 yards per reception during his career. So a guy of his size, a guy of his ability, that's an impressive thing. And, you know, they lost some big play guys, right? They lost Marvin Jones. They lost Kenny Galladay. Well, they did their damnedest to try to replace those guys and kind of what they provide on a budget. And, you know, Tyrell Williams, you could do a lot worse than Tyrell Williams this offseason.
And it proves they're looking for something different too, right? Like these receivers are nothing like the ones that they had before. It's mm-hmm. all about speed, 100% about speed, 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 speed. And that's
speed, SEC speed.
And I think that's going to help Jared Goff out a little bit. I listed him as a loser of week one free agency, but the one thing that I failed to mention was that they're getting guys that he's comfortable with. They're getting those speed guys that he was used to in Los Angeles. So that's why I get it. Like I totally understand the strategy. Like you're probably going to spend less than $10 million on three guys instead of spending, I don't know, $18 million on one guy that is going to be partying in New York in a little bit. So I get the approach. It's not one that's very exciting. It's not one that is going to make any splashes, I would say, in 2021. But it's a completely logical move. So I'll go Tyrell Williams, B minus, Rashad Perryman, C. It's fun to have a Perryman again. D plus. I mean, nothing against the guy, but he's just a punt returner.
Yep. And for me, I just want to talk real quick because we did lose, you know, you talk about what Detroit has lost. It's definitely a minus as far as wide receiver because you lose Marvin Jones to the Jaguars. You lose Agnew to the Jaguars. You lose Galladay. I thought Galladay, I'm really interested to see what he's going to do in New York with the Giants. I think that's probably like one of the better landing places he could have picked. Because I don't know. I know it's kind of in vogue to kind of crap on Daniel Jones, but he quietly was putting things together near the end of that season. I know he grades well via PFF metrics on passes deep downfield. And guess who helps him with that? Kenny Galladay, a guy who you can throw up to the jump ball. And for Galladay, he got exactly what he wanted there. I know it was an odd free agency, Ryan, for Galladay, because at first it looked like he was not going to get $18 million, and just somehow out of the blue, the Giants found that money for him.
I mean, there was a point in which he was going to the Bengals and saying that he wanted a 1-year contract. So,
yeah, I saw a few guys who were trying to take those one year prove it deals with this low salary cap. And I just thought that was the wrong way to go about it, especially in the NFL, where it means not for long, and who knows how long you get to play. So 4 years is very good for Kenny.
I think Kenny Galladay might be the winner of free agency in terms of contracts, because I mean, if you consider the position, the way the market had just absolutely cratered, you got guys like Juju Smith-Schuster who aren't getting the types of contracts that they're getting. The only guys who are getting paid are the ones that are getting franchise tagged. Kenny Galladay came out with a bunch of guaranteed money and $18 million a year. Good job.
And a good landing spot. Again, like I think with the quarterback and the running back to kind of complement it, like that's a good offense for the Giants.
They've got a good offense there.
Yeah.
The one thing I just question is Daniel Jones's arm. And I know, I think PFF has been kind of pushing the narrative that, you know, his deep ball accuracy is actually pretty darn good. And that could benefit a guy like Kenny Galladay, who makes a lot of deep ball catches. But he doesn't have the fire. He doesn't have the cannon that Matthew Stafford has to fit it into tight windows. So I don't know. I don't know how it'll play out. I do think they probably overpaid a little bit given everything else around him, but they did their due diligence. They had him do a like 48-hour interview, it sounded like. They were questioning some of the things that came up apparently in Detroit, you know, like the time he went missing on a Saturday, but then didn't. And then, you know, the liking of Matt Patricia, and, you know, he's going to Joe Judge. He's going from Matt Patricia to Joe Judge, which is not necessarily ideal if he's going out liking Matt Patricia gets fired Instagram posts. Not sure Joe Judge is exactly where he wants to land, but, you know, there is a certain match in that there are a lot of weapons, and hopefully it opens him up, because I'll be rooting for him.
Yeah, for sure. Real quick, let's grade the last two positions on offense. Tight end, Josh Hill in, Jesse James out. Jesse James, obviously, a lot of cap saving. Josh Hill, kind of the quick, you know, less than $1 million deal for him. Just real quick on tight end.
Josh Hill, I think, is the sneaky signing of the Lions free agency period. I know Jeremy just wants to give it an A, and I'll give it like a B plus, because he's a tight end two who will probably more function along the lines of, in terms of like statistical production, as like a tight end three. But the thing about Josh Hill is he's going to be a guy that is going to be, I think he's just going to be praised and heralded by the people who watch film. I think right. With Josh Hill, like he's going to be the guy who's not going to show up in the box score. But then again, Jesse James was a guy who didn't show up in the box score. So that's clearly a huge upgrade for the Lions. And it's weird that I'm touting tight end two as maybe their best signing. But like, it's really sneaky good in terms of what can open up for the run game. Right, Jeremy?
I mean, they saved money doing it. They cut Jesse James, got $2.14 million back. They spent less than that on a replacement that's better than him and more suited to what they want to do. Run the ball, be physical on the front lines. And yeah, and then maybe Hunter Bryant becomes what Jesse James should have been.
Quick in two words, offensive line. Nobody comes in. Joe Dahl and Ode Ibushi out. Just real quick on the grade.
I'm D. Like, what are they doing? What's the plan here? There's no offensive line depth right now. Ode Ibushi signed a $1.75 million contract. You can afford that. I don't know the plan here. I'm not thrilled about Logan Stenberg. Maybe it's Halepuli Vaitivaitai at right guard, and I don't know, you're rolling the dice with Tyler Crosby at right tackle?
We'll talk about it in the third segment, but I think that the draft is something that is going to provide opportunities, especially for interior offensive linemen, because everything I've read, including from Dane Brugler, you know, he mentioned that the interior offensive line class is deep, but it's not very top heavy. So maybe they might be, you know, looking at the draft and saying we can pick up one of those guys to fill in that spot. But I agree with you, Jeremy. Like, as it stands right now, if the board doesn't fall their way and they miss out on their guys, well, then it's like scrambling for veterans. And when you could have, you know, signed Ode Ibushi for really cheap, or you could have just kept Joe Dahl.
Yeah. Besides Sewell, who is a tackle, like I haven't seen a lot of guards getting first round grades here, but we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll flip the side of the ball, go to defense, get some more takes in. And then later on, again, we're going to talk about looking at the Lions going forward, about what this means for the draft. I've been hinting it a few times, and we have it coming for you down the pike here on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Part two of the Pride Detroit PODcast rolling in here. I'm Chris Perfett. He's Jeremy Reisman. He is Ryan Matthews, the Rock God. And we're moving on to looking at what the Lions did in free agency on the defense now. The big name, Jeremy, as I think I can say this as the big name, although maybe not. I'm curious to see where he lands out on the depth chart, is Michael Brockers, who the Lions gave up a 7th round pick to acquire Michael Brockers and I think they got something else in return, did they? No. It was just a seventh round. The background on this is that the Rams couldn't cut a new deal with Michael Brock because they wanted to restructure his deal so they could help him out. They could help him out, the Rams out, with the cap. He didn't want to restructure his deal, so the Lions took him, gave up a seventh round to do so. Lions have now penned him to a new three-year contract. He's here in Detroit. It follows in Jared Goff, who, very quick to clarify his comments from the TMZ days about Goff and Stafford, which I'm more than willing to throw away anyway. Like, you get caught out in the open, you're not going to be the most polished. You're just going to say, yeah, the guy we got is a super upgrade. That's fine. And Brockers, though, I think brings a lot of, we talked about character with Jamal Williams. Michael Brockers, I feel like, brings a lot of character to the defense.
Yeah. And he's also the most talented guy that they brought in so far. I mean, Jared Goff, maybe, but Michael Brockers is, I think, bar none, the most impressive move that they've made so far. I would give it a solid A minus, maybe even an A. A 2023 seventh round pick is essentially trading nothing. You're essentially getting for him for free. And then the big concern was you were taking on a big $8-9 million cap hit over the next 2 years. And the Lions fixed that by saying, hey, here's a brand new deal. Your year one cap hit's going to be $3 million. It's going to bump up to $9 million next year. And that's the one that's going to be a little tougher to manage. And then it's almost $12 million the year after that, but you can essentially cut them and recoup most of that. So you're essentially getting Michael Brockers for nothing. He's a leader. He knows what this defense is going to be all about. Now, were his stats a little inflated because he's playing next to Aaron Donald? Yeah, of course it was. Absolutely. But you're getting a guy that's high character. You're getting a guy who's excited to be here, which, again, that sounds weird to say because you're going from a playoff slash Super Bowl contending Los Angeles Rams team to a team in rebuild. And I know he won't agree to those terms of explaining what the Lions situation is, but he seems to have gotten sold by, you know, Dan Campbell and company and signed an extension here. So I love the move. I'm not expecting him to bring Super Bowls here right away. And he probably doesn't even see the third year of that deal. So the Lions probably aren't going to be a successful team by the time he's gone, but you've got a guy who can really kickstart a rebuild because of his talent and more so because of his leadership.
Yeah, it's a great signing. I would give it an A+. And I guess technically it's a signing because they extended his contract, right? Is that what we're kind of fudging, you know, free agency classes on? But the Brockers thing is an A+ because what was a 2023 seventh round pick going to net you? You know what I mean? So there's zero risk in this at all. I like even the contract, like I'm not even really concerned with the extension or anything. I know people, you know, they were excited to get the name Brockers because of what he's been able to do in St. Louis / Los Angeles. But I think the thing that they were wary about was once they said, like, well, contract extension. I mean, for a guy who, you know, is 30, as Eric Schlitt pointed out on the locker room chat, you know, defensive interiors. I mean, look at Sue. He's still 35, 36 almost, I think, and he's still a productive guy. So I like Michael Brockers. I really like the move. Yep.
Yeah. And on the other side going out is Danny Shelton. Lions save $4 million there, and Nick Williams taking a pay cut. Lions saving quite a bit there. So I think there's some room to be made as far as the defensive line, as far as depth, but maybe that comes in when we start talking about the edge, where the big new, the big, can not can even I, addition.
Before we get up to edge, can we talk about the Nick Williams cut? Because that, their trade pay cut, because that just broke today. And I think it's kind of an interesting move.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Like, why would he take a pay cut, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. I mean, you don't want to. No player wants to take a pay cut. He's, you know, he's maxing out what he can make this year, I think, at $2 million. He is getting $500,000 guaranteed with a brand new signing bonus. $500,000 of his salary this year is also guaranteed. So he's getting $1 million in the pocket guaranteed, which kind of just goes to tell you, like, he probably knew if he hit the free agency market in this free agency, probably wouldn't have worked out too well for him because, you know, the Lions had all the leverage here. If they cut him, they could have saved $4.7 million or so. And so they're like, hey, man, we like what you want to bring. And this is the surprise to it all, right? Because we all expected Nick Williams to be cut, especially over Danny Shelton, I think, because Danny Shelton brought a little bit more to the table. But Nick Williams is a little bit more of a pass rusher, so that might be why he's kind of more in favor with this coaching staff. And I mean, you saved now $2.7 million that you weren't going to save if you just kept him. So instead of it's basically, do you want Nick Williams and $2.7 million worth of cap space, or do you want no Nick Williams and $4.7 million of cap space? Can you find a Nick Williams replacement for $2 million? I don't know. Probably not. I'm not the hugest Nick Williams fan, so I'm going to give this a grade, even though it's technically not an acquisition. I'm just going to give it a straight C. Like, I get it now. I was pretty skeptical that they were keeping Nick Williams on the roster, but now it makes a little bit more sense.
I think my thought process with it, Jeremy, from Nick Williams' perspective, is that my best years were in Chicago. I had a pass rush around me. I was able to sign a rich contract with the Detroit Lions. If I'm going back out into free agency, well, I'm hoping that A, I can, you know, at least get paid close to what I was making, and B, go to some place that has some talent along their defensive line. We talked about it on our locker room discussion. We talked ourselves back into it on the locker room discussion. The Lions defensive line might be the best part of their defense.
Flowers, Okwara, Brockers, and now Nick Williams. I mean, Nick Williams is certainly the low light of that, but
and Pennicini.
And that's not even mentioning the young guys that we're hoping finally take that jump in Austin Bryan and Julian Okwara. But yeah, there's promise there.
So if I'm Nick Williams, I'm hitching my wagon to those guys, and hopefully I can have another productive season and make a new contract somewhere else.
Moving on to Edge, there's not too much to really talk about besides the big coup, I think, for the Lions, which is Romeo Okwara staying. But I mean, that's a big coup. That's a big coup. And we talked about it in our emergency podcast. It's also a good story for a guy who was undrafted to turn around, make a lot of money. And you just hope, I think, Jeremy, that we're going to keep getting the same kind of edge production out of Romeo Okwara. That's not going to be another hot and cold situation.
Yeah, it's definitely a risk. We saw, you know, Romeo Okwara's kind of career bud a little bit in Detroit. Obviously, last year was his best year by far, not only with the 10 sacks, but all the pressure rate stats and all that stuff. But they're making a pretty significant commitment to him. You know, only $4.5 million cap hit this year, but that raises to 14.5 for the next 2 years after that. And he probably sees both of those years. So it's a significant investment. It's a slightly risky one, but he's a young guy. He's a guy that the staff clearly likes. He clearly made an impression, both probably with tape and, you know, his personality. And apparently it was an easy re-signing, according to Romeo. He wanted to be back with his brother. So I think it worked out for everyone in the end there. We just hope that his career continues to rise.
And we see him with Julian on the field at some point.
Yeah.
Get the brothers going.
Yeah.
Ryan, if I may, I want to kick Charles Harris over to you. So, and I think what might be lost from the Lions. So Charles Harris signs with the Lions. Not too much. I remember, I think last time I heard Charles Harris's name was he got ejected for going after Teddy Bridgewater's head on Thursday Night Football. So not too much to say there, but I think the Lions might be looking eventually at a life without Everson Griffin.
Yeah, I would venture to guess. Everson Griffin probably won't be a Detroit Lion next season, but the thing I like about the Charles Harris signing is kind of in a similar vein to the Breshad Perriman signing. It's another guy who was a former first round pick, showed promise at times, but you know, injuries and other things just prevented them from, you know, reaching their, I guess, quote unquote draft day potential. So I like, you know, the exchange with Sheila Ford-Hamp about, you know, what she wants Charles Harris to do. Seems like he's, you know, a mercenary coming in to do one thing, and that's rush the passer. So, you know, everything aside from the last regime, the one thing we've been begging for even before them was a pass rush. And at least the Lions are trying to do that in some form and fashion.
Well, I mean, that's the thread between Okwara and Harris, two guys who can rush the passer. That's where the focus is going for sure.
Yeah. I think Charles Harris's career is probably done-ish. I mean, he had three sacks last year with Atlanta, and you know, we're calling that a resurgence in his career. Like that's the flash that he showed. I'm not entirely certain that Charles Harris makes the roster, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I know he's got $1.75 million in cash, and it's all guaranteed, so they'd be taking on a little bit of a cap hit there if they decide to part ways, because they get nothing in savings. But I don't know. I think it doesn't hurt to take swings like this, because you're only paying less than $2 million. And given where the lines are at, this is pretty much the only thing they can do this year. They're not going out and getting building blocks of the future, because the cap won't let that happen, and they probably shouldn't be doing that right now. But yeah, I'm kind of glossing over this one and not chalking this one up as a win. Probably a D signing for me.
I think it's it's basically due diligence is the way I look at it. Is like, if you've got something in Charles Harris, you take a flyer on it, you blow, you know, less than $2 million, just see what you've got in him. If you don't have anything, then you're not going to really miss that money this year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. What the hell are the Lions doing with linebacker right now?
Nobody knows.
Maybe they just won't play any next year.
That might, given the last 5 years of Lions linebacker play, I think that might be ideal, Jeremy. So Jared Davis is going to the Jets and getting $5.5 million guaranteed. I guess, you know, hey, if Robert Saleh can turn him around, by all means,
go for it.
That's good. Good. Go for it. Saleh, you figure him out. I kind of got exhausted trying to figure out if Jared Davis was going to rebound or not. Reggie Ragland also goes to the Giants on the veteran minimum. I think that was kind of, I think he could have gotten a little bit more than the minimum, but I mean, he didn't really do much favors for himself here in Detroit under the last year he played.
He's just a better fit in New York, another Patriot style defense. And he was okay here. He's just not what the Lions want now.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of you say the Patriots style defense, that kind of feels like what the attrition at linebacker is right now, Jeremy. Yep. It's basically like, hey, all these guys fit one specific system that we just can't do. So, like, you know, the big survivor is Jalen Reeves-Maybin. He's sticking around, and I know his cap hit is actually quite low this year, I think $1.1 million. But rest assured, the Lions need to do something with linebacker. I just don't know what it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Collins and Jelani Tavai. I don't know.
Yeah.
Looks around the room and says, "Which of you guys were former Patriots linebackers?" But do they still have enough commitment?
I just want to ask: do they still have enough to do a 3-4 base though? Like,
no, but I don't think they're really going to. I think they're going to have 5 DBs on the field more so, and I mean it also depends on who is Julian Okwara, linebacker or an edge or mm-hmm. defensive end, and same with Austin Bryant, same with really Romeo Okwara. Like, all these guys are going to sometimes have their hands in the dirt, and sometimes they won't. Charles Harris as well. So yeah, I mean,
just silly designations, right? Like,
right,
yeah, 4-3, 3-4, whatever.
Yeah, we are getting to kind of an era of defense where everything is very well hybridized. As you say, you're starting to see like five DB sets and everything. So, yeah,
I want to say real quick, if Robert Saleh can turn Jared Davis into Fred Warner, the Lions lost in terms of their coaching search.
The cake that they bought was not nice enough.
Get a better cake. Get Fudgy the Whale next time. Everyone likes Fudgy the Whale. Lions screwed up by not getting Fudgy the Whale.
Speaking of getting better cake, can the Lions sign anybody in their secondary?
Yeah, that's the next story we've got here. Let's start with cornerbacks, as Desmond Trufant out. We expected that. Justin Coleman out. I think we expected that. That's like almost $11 million in cap savings between those two guys walking away. So that's big, but... Yeah.
Also cutting the guy that they were expecting to be their CB1 and their starting nickel corner year ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know. Like, I kind of pushed back on this when Eric proposed it, but like, it's starting to look like, yeah, maybe Imani Oruwari and Jeff Okuda are your two starting corners. I was hoping they'd add a veteran to push the competition there, and there's still plenty of time. Maybe they do that. Maybe they draft a guy. But I think the main concern right now is nickel, and that's where a visit comes in. That might be happening in Quan Williams of the 49ers free agent nickel guy. I think a guy with a lot of promise. He was basically the starter for 3 or 4 years there. He was actually pretty good before he went there. There was just kind of There was a weird thing with his injury where I don't even remember. What was the team before the 49ers he was on?
He was with Cleveland.
Cleveland. That's right. Yeah. And there was some sort of like dispute with his injury. It ended with him getting cut. The 49ers came in, swooped him up. And he really has been a really, really good nickel corner since then. And so I'd love for the Lions to be in on him. It sounds like the 49ers are interested. There are some other teams interested in him. It might drive the price up a little bit where they might not be willing to spend, but that would be a really, really good signing that would make me feel really, really good about the future of the nickelback position.
Yeah, but if you're Jeff Okuda, you've got nowhere really to hide right now. We're going to learn. I know we've all been saying that his talents, like, okay, I know, again, corners need time to develop in the NFL, but at the same time, it was like a third overall pick, too. And it's things are going to have to come around pretty fast now for Okuda, because it seems like with the depth right now, he's going to be thrown in the fire. But I think, Ryan, this is another draft class where there are plenty of corners for you to have. But I feel like we've been saying that about a lot of positions, that the Lions are just not going to have the picks to get everyone they want at every position they need right now.
Yeah, but the thing that's concerning about that is the Lions' top cornerbacks might be very young players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yep, I'm right there with Jeremy. Like, you need more veteran bodies back there. So another interesting name, not necessarily a cornerback, but a guy who can, you know, kind of play a little bit of whatever in the defensive backfield, because he, you know, Lions hosting him for a visit, and yeah, potentially they can bring him into the fold. So we'll see. I think even after the draft is done, you're going to see the Lions maybe churn out some veteran camp bodies at cornerback, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That brings us to safety, though, which, again, besides the visit planned by DeMonte Kazee, no real change. Miles Killebrew, he is signing with the Steelers. We don't have contract details there. So much for your safe bet on buying the Miles Killebrew jersey.
Yeah. I mean,
oldest jokes finally falls.
This is kind of what, I mean, we're going to get to it right next, but like, what are the Lions doing with special teams? Maybe they don't care. They get rid of a good special teams coordinator. They get rid of, some key special teamers. I think the special teams could be, they get rid of Jamal Agnew. They get rid of, who we're about to talk about, Matt Prater. I don't like not signing Miles Killebrew. I mean, he's also a leader in that locker room. I mean, in terms of character, you have to imagine he's a perfect fit for what Dan Campbell wants. So I don't quite understand this. We'll have to wait and see what the Steelers contract is. Maybe it was just ridiculous for a special teamer, but I can't imagine it's that much. So I'm a little perplexed by that move.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some new guys probably playing on special teams that we're not used to seeing playing on special teams too. So it might be a bit of a learning experience, but again, we don't have the full picture in front of us there. Right. But speaking of special teams, you did mention Matt Prater. He's out. He got $6.5 million over 2 years with the Arizona Cardinals.
Which, I'm with you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you in the sense that maybe it just didn't make sense to pay for a kicker. And, you know, kickers have the shelf life that they have, but this isn't a team that probably was interested in allocating those type of, you know, financial resources to a position that they can move on with.
But you look at the contracts here, and they could have. In my opinion, they're spending $1.68 million on Randy Bullock in cap space this year. Matt Prater is costing the Cardinals $2 million in cap space this year. And yes, that bumps up to $4.5 million next year, but they can recoup all but $1 million of that next year if they cut him. They could have afforded that deal. And Matt Prater wanted to be back. Why didn't they do it? It would have cost him less than $400,000 more in cap space than what they ended up spending this year.
Well, maybe all of the people that are in my Twitter mentions when I'm telling them to like divert their eyes from thinking that Matt Prater is a catastrophe and he's falling apart in front of your eyes and he's never going to be the same guy again. Maybe you're right, Jeremy, if you're being that guy. That's the only, but truly, like Jeremy, you just said, like, if, you know, Prater wanted to be back, the contract seems reasonable that maybe they didn't have to spend the kind of money that we thought they were going to have to spend. Yeah. What other explanation is there other than maybe the Lions said, we're just going to go another route?
I don't like it.
If I can, I do want, F. I don't. Yeah, go on.
No, just F. just saying enough.
He's saying F, but like, come on. I'm not going to crap on the Randy Bullock signing. The guy is
the Bengals fans will.
Yeah, I'm sure. But he was like, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not horrible.
No, but like 2019, he was an 87% kicker. That was better than Matt Prater in 2019. Last year, 2020, 80% field goal percentage kicker. Like, that's better than Matt Prater last year, too. Like, by percentage, he's a better kicker.
I think the other thing to consider, though, is that Randy Bullock has as many 50-yard attempts as Matt Prater has in, like, half a season.
Like, two years, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah. But that was going to get to my positive spin. My positive spin is now the Lions aren't going to be kicking so many field goals from 50 plus yards. Now they'll actually go for it. If I'm being honest, they'll probably punt, but go for it. Go for it. Go for it.
No, so now you're excited about punting.
No, everybody. I'm not. That's excited. What Jeremy just said. No.
Look,
no.
We've got Jack Fox. No. But you're allowed to be excited about punting. You've got Jack Fox.
Not if you're punting from the other side of the field.
Oh, you just watched Jack Fox.
Nope.
Yes. Speaking of memes and the special teams, one more note before we get out of here to the next segment.
A+.
Tom Mueller. Okay. Long snapper. Done. All right.
Long snapper, short analysis. Let's go.
Just that's all that needs to be said. All right. We're going to take a break here. We come back on the other side. It's time for takes. We're going to evaluate what this means, I think, for the big picture for the Lions, what it means going into the draft. And as always, the weird politics of how much the Lions are spending to put a team together this year and everything else about that. We'll be right back on the Pride of Detroit POD cast. Closing up the shop here on the Pride of Detroit POD cast, wind it down, and we've covered both sides of the ball now for free agency. And I want to talk about what you guys think this means for the Lions, because the offense, I feel like it looks like the Lions spent a lot of time kind of picking up parts of the offense in free agency, not the offensive line, though. And then we look at the defense up front, Lions, okay, but the back seven is going to need a bit of work. So I guess, does this change anything for you as far as what the Lions should be targeting in the draft? Or do you have any kind of better or more clarified predictions towards the top of the draft now of what the Lions should be targeting?
If you want me to take that one, I think free agency has changed absolutely nothing about the draft. Not a single thing. Not a damn thing. Quarterback is still on the table. Wide receiver is still on the table. Doesn't matter. And you want to know why? Look at the terms of these signings. Tyrell Williams, 1 year. Josh Hill, 1 year. Jamal Williams, 2 years. Tim Boyle, 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. They're keeping their head afloat for this year. None of these guys are here long term, except for Brockers, essentially. You don't draft so that you're good this year. You don't draft to fill holes for 2021. Yes, they need a linebacker. Yes, they need a corner. Yes, they need a safety. Yes, they need a wide receiver this year. But that's not how you draft. You draft talent for guys in your future. So I don't think anything they've done in free agency should prohibit any position that was part of the conversation before. Period.
You're saying that specifically at seven, Jeremy?
Really, the entire draft. I mean, we know Brad Holmes can get solid contributors in the third and fourth round. And so if he can get a starter at any position in the third and fourth round, even at running back, I will allow it. I will allow it. Because I just think, I mean, again, like you're on Kerryon Johnson's last year. Jamal Williams has 2 years left. You don't have a long-term plan there necessarily behind DeAndre Swift. So like literally everything is on the table for every round, as long as you're getting good value, period.
And I think that's the jumping off point for me, is that when I look at the top of the draft, if you start picking out the guys that will provide the most value at seven, I have an article about it coming out tomorrow on Pride of Detroit for the open thread. But my like whole idea is with the Lions, they're getting an opportunity for value to meet need. And I think that wide receiver is absolutely a need. You mentioned, you know, Tyrell Williams, a 1 year deal, Breshad Perriman, a 1 year deal. The Lions don't have a long term solution at wide receiver. So I while, yes, there are other positions that are totally worthwhile, you know, taking at number seven, for instance, they could draft a tackle and I would say, oh, all right. So Vitae is a guard. All right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I'm fine with that. Cool.
Yeah.
But I truly think that the Lions, you want to go with a guard too, or I'm sorry, you want to go with a wide receiver because you have Jared Goff. Don't you want to put him in a position to be as successful as possible? Getting a speedy wide receiver that can create separation, like a Ja'Marr Chase, like a Devonta Smith, like a Kyle Pitts.
Nah. Now this podcast is in the pits.
That's going to, oh, yes. Okay, so we had Tua talk.
In the pits? Now,
pit stop.
Pit stop.
Yeah, oh, no. Yeah, yeah. I like it.
Oh, no. More car talk.
Just listen, what this podcast needs, baby.
Listen, I learned how to change my oil this pandemic. It might be the most productive I've been this entire calendar year. I'm ready for car talk.
Is there... This is really early on in the process, Jeremy, and I know that you haven't done a whole bunch of draft research, but is there any guy that you would want the Lions to take at seven if he was there, even if it meant not trading back and having the opportunity to do so?
I think Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know how likely it is he's there, but I mean, if you look at a lot of ways that mock drafts are going as of late, and who knows if that's a reflection of reality or not, but quarterbacks are flying off the damn board. I think I saw three today that had quarterback, first four picks.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, like, it's not out of the question that Ja'Marr Chase falls to him. I still think he's the top wide receiver in this class, and so he'll probably be like the fifth guy off in that scenario. But you know, if you got a guy, you got a team that needs an offensive tackle and wants to get one right away, Sewell is a guy that could be a top five pick too, and maybe someone falls in love with Kyle Pitts and whatever, maybe. So you know, I'm gonna be happy if they grab any of those top three receivers. I might come around to Kyle Pitts by the time we hit April there at seven. But yeah, I don't think there's a lot of wrong answers for the Lions at seven, to be honest.
Devonta Smith is rising up. I know he like graded, like he came out like 170 at Alabama Pro Day. He does not look just 170 to me though.
That's the only rub of his game. And it's a big rub because there's very little precedent. If he succeeds, he's going to be one of the biggest outliers in wide receiver history in terms of weight. But that's the only knock on him.
Yep. I'm fine with it though. Totally fine with it. I'm fine with a lot of things right now.
Oh, you're a little scared over there, Ryan.
I'm not fine with it. To be honest, I don't want to. Here's what I think is so important for Brad Holmes to build some. Jeremy's going to hate this, but build some momentum with this draft. I think that there's more, and Jeremy, you wouldn't argue with this, I don't think, but like, don't you think there's more momentum in like team building from like year to year versus like within like the confines of a game? I'm not going to get you to budge at all whatsoever.
I don't think so. No. I think you learn from mistakes. Hopefully you no longer take a corner that is slow in the draft. In
the second round. The Lions learning from mistakes would be the day.
Say like, you know, like not taking a tight end in the top 10.
It might take three times to figure that one out. Apparently.
It might take more. So I think for me, it's yeah, I'm with you guys. Like, I don't think anything's really changed. Like, there's still a lot of difference. I think the interest in quarterback at the top of the draft probably means Lions are out when it comes to quarterback, but that's totally fine for me because I'm not really biting on any of them besides Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not believing in Trey Lance right now. I'm just not. Maybe I got to go watch tape and smash myself over the head with a bat or something before I get into that boat.
I think another sticking point surrounding the discourse on whether or not to go you know, with one of the receivers, or to take a linebacker like Micah Parsons. I think that is another really interesting dynamic that's going to unfold over the next, you know, however many weeks until the draft, because there's this discussion going on about the value of off-ball linebackers. And well, if the value, you know, if the value is to take an offensive player, do you pass on a guy like Parsons, even though we just talked a segment ago about how the Lions have literally brought in zero linebackers this free agency?
Yeah, I could see it. This is where I feel like I need to start doing more research when it comes to like day two, especially because how many positions did we say last segment where it's like, yeah, they should probably be looking at someone in the draft, but if you're day two, or
they have six like picks,
they do. And that's the other story, is that comp picks, man.
Next year, baby, we're going to have a boatload of them.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Galladay. Mm-hmm. Thanks, bud. Thanks for the parting gift. But no, I mean, I think part of the equation here, too, is like we're just a week into free agency. There's a full month before the draft. The Lions are going to sign a handful of guys, a lot of guys, ones mm-hmm. that'll probably start, if not, you know, have some sort of rotational role. So like while that offensive line depth looks really bad right now, they'll probably add a body before the draft. While linebacker looks horrible right now, they'll add a body before draft. I think they add a corner and a safety before the draft, maybe multiple of both. So, you know, you don't want it. Like always, the strategy is to make sure you fill needs in free agency, you get talent in the draft. And that goes especially for a team rebuild. You're not trying to build a team that's ready right now through the draft. You don't need to fill those immediate needs in the draft, because these are guys that you are hoping are hitting their strides 2-3 years down the line when this team is actually really, really good, fingers crossed. So, I mean, that's why in general, like if we're talking about the draft, nothing's changed, nothing. And we can even go back to the quarterback talk, because I don't think quarterback is off the table. I don't want to see them get aggressive and trade up, because I think those future assets are important to a rebuild. Important to building a team. You know, Mike Payton had an article today. It's important to build a team too. We can't just throw all our resources into the new quarterback and expect, hey, he's our new savior, suddenly he's good. We just got rid of a pretty good quarterback and it didn't bring us a lot of team success. So let's use all these fun new things that Stafford got us and make sure we get a team.
The other thing I want to bring up that's kind of come from this week is, and I saw it on another show, we'll say another show, and I've heard it from some fans, and I know it came up during your locker room session, Jeremy, but the idea that the team is trying too hard this year is suddenly rearing its head in a way that I'm not comfortable with it. The idea that like it's the age old thing, though, right? This is min maxing, trying to leverage you're trying to tank. Like that, at least that's what fans want to see, the team more outright tank, I think. And I've got thoughts on that, but I'll let you guys go first.
Well, I mean, I don't get the fans that think this team is like being aggressive towards this year. I don't see that at all with these moves. I'm seeing them taking a lot of risk on a lot of guys who need an opportunity to prove it. You know, Tyrell Williams isn't investing in this year to be great, and neither is Khalif Raymond or Rashad Perriman. These are guys that need a shot. They need a shot, and so they can get paid next year, and the Lions are going to give it to them because they don't have any depth. Like, I don't really see this whole, like, the Lions are going too hard in on this year. Where? Like,
yeah, I think I start hearing this around, like, Jamal Williams. Yeah, it was Brockers, but like I started hearing it around the Jamal Williams signings when I first started to hear it. But I mean, okay,
like, I don't know. Like if we're going to criticize Brockers because he's a 30-year-old guy you just gave a 3-year deal to, he's not going to be a building block to the future. What are you doing getting him? Well, you have to start somewhere with this future, this building of a culture, this building of a defense that knows what they're doing. You throw a bunch of newbies together, you're going to get the bad news bears. You're going to get the little giants, and there isn't a fairy tale ending to the end of that story, because you're just going to get a bunch of people like Matt Patricia's defense. No one knows what the hell they're doing because no one's there to lead him. Except, you know, maybe I'm not giving enough credit to this coaching staff, but I feel like everyone's also giving them a little too much credit before they've done anything. I know they're a bunch of former players. I know they can probably relate to these guys a little bit more, but you also need a guy who can currently do it. And Michael Brockers is a guy, I think, I guess he would be the one that draws the most criticism that they're trying too hard right now. I think he makes way too much sense to set the tone for what this team needs in the future. And so I got no problem with it. Mic drop.
Anything, Ryan?
I don't know. That was a really good point. Nice job, Jeremy. You are rewarded 300 points. Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Jeremy, specifically in regards to quarterback at number 7,
yeah.
Does a Jared Goff restructure change your opinion of being aggressive to get a quarterback this draft?
A little bit. And, you know, I was talking with Eric and Andrew about this. And because the lines are so tight against the cap right now, one option they could do is do the restructure after the draft, because, you know, they need that $7 to $9 million to sign their draft class. Well, you don't have to sign your draft class until June. So you wait to create that cap space then. And in the meantime, you kind of hide your options, what your plan is. If you don't, I mean, as soon as you give him that extension, well, yeah, then it's kind of like, okay, well, we're committing to him for probably at least that third year. Do you really want to draft a rookie quarterback whose first 3 years are going to be on the bench? It worked for the Packers, but not a lot of other good stories there. You want that starting quarterback on a rookie deal if you're going rookie quarterback route. So I would say if they give him a restructure, then yeah, I think it becomes a little bit harder to convince both me and probably the rest of the NFL that you're going quarterback early.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
Is that it? Are we done?
I'm trying to figure out how to like transition back now. Like, I wanted to go back to the other point. Now I kind of feel like we're just bouncing around now. So
I think we solved all the world's problems.
No, I just don't understand. I just don't understand the tank thing. That's all. I'm still hung up on that. I'm sorry. Like this.
Then why don't you go into why, even if the team was, if people are looking at the way they're building this roster and somehow think they're trying to win too hard, too much too hard right now, why is that stupid?
Because you don't win by where your position is in the first round in the draft. And I think these like for those who are, you're kind of way too focused on the idea of a quarterback is the main takeaway for being in the quarterback is your main prize for the draft, which I can understand if you were a quarterback away, but we just saw a team win who basically put all the other pieces together and then got a quarterback. We've seen teams being able to trade for the quarterback, like the Rams, and the Lions have a shitload of assets to really do this. And I'm going to steal this from Chris Gibbs from Twitter, who pointed out, it's like, because I invoked that I feel like every time you start talking about tanking, we're basing too much on the NBA model, right? Like, I think the NBA is bad for us talking about the NFL in general, because people look at quarterbacks and they think about the quarterback as the winner in a Michael Jordan archetype, right? And that comes from the NBA. Tanking, the archetype, that comes from the NBA. But the problem is, as Gibbs pointed out to me, was, you know, if you're drafting late in the first round in the NBA, you're trying to get like a rotational bench player, someone who can develop into a starter later on. In the NFL, even if you're drafting around 20, you're getting a starter. You're getting a starter. It's much better to just have more picks and like just a multitude of picks, because you just got so many more positions than to worry about getting up to like 5 versus 7 or 2 versus 7. And just the NFL just doesn't work like that. And it's too hard to guarantee that it doesn't work like that. And you put yourself in too much of a crater by debilitating yourself to then come back out of that crater is going to take a lot longer. And you're probably going to screw up some of your draft picks. But until that point,
when's the last time one draft pick saved a franchise? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is probably the closest example. And guess what? They were picking
all the pieces
originally.
Yeah,
they traded up.
And to my point, they had all those pieces ready to go there. Like they were, that was already a good flying offense in Kansas City.
They already had Andy Reid. So, I mean, yeah, I'm with you. Tanking doesn't solve a lot of problems.
I just need, I just, yeah.
people just look at, you know, well, what if the Lions had lost two more games last year? Well, then, you know, they got Chase, you know, they got this one guy, and like, okay, then what? Like, what about the rest of the team? What about the secondary? What about the wide receivers? Like, where are they with the rest of the team? Like, Chase Young does not save everything. It's a nice player to have. It's a nice building piece. But like, if you're a good franchise, you need about seven or eight more of those guys. So one year of Tank isn't going to do it.
Yeah. And I just, it just doesn't impact enough. Yeah. What? Yeah.
And I was just agreeing emphatically.
I just want to throw that out because it's going to become more of a topic, I feel like, in the coming month, that more people are going to look at this Lions roster and you're going to see a lot of fans saying, I don't want this team to try. And I just don't see the downside of trying. I just don't.
And do you know when it gets worse? It gets worse when college football season starts.
Oh,
and
God.
There's an anointed quarterback that is going to be number one. And then it's going to be all ablaze on Lions Twitter.
Are you sure we're going to have that? Because the same people are telling me left and right, there's no quarterbacks coming out in 2022 that compare to this class in 2021.
Happens every single year, doesn't it? Every single year.
Without fail, because they don't realize what the transfer portal is.
Like, I consider myself someone who's at least like tuned in adjacently from college football. And like, I didn't know who Zach Wilson was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Now he's going to be the second round in the pit in the draft. Come on.
Yeah, you're going to see like JT Daniels finally get to start at Georgia this year. Like a guy who was really vaunted coming out of high school, who never got like a good chance to start at USC because of injuries. We're going to see a bunch of guys like only play 1 year starter now in college between that and the transfer portal. Like,
personally, I think everyone in college football is going to suck next year,
especially Michigan.
Okay, that was unnecessary. we're a basketball school.
You know what? As a guy who went to USC, I'm right there with Jeremy. Actually, I'm right there with Jeremy. All right. I think we wrap it up there. That was fun. We'll have more fun next podcast and we'll probably look towards what happens next. And as Jeremy says, there's going to be a lot more of a free agency to come. I just feel like we got the big flurry out of the way this week.
We've won complete.
We won the off season, ladies and gentlemen. For myself, find me on Twitter. Well, God, find myself on Twitter at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. Jeremy's at Detroit on Lion. Ryan Matthews at Ryan_POD. We'll catch you next time. Go Lions.